In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 356th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons stayed out west after their loss to the Los Angeles Rams. They will play the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday at 4:25. The Falcons are 0-2, and the Seahawks are 1-1. Heading into this matchup of two teams that weren't expected to do a whole lot this year. The Seahawks started the season by beating Denver 17-16 in Russell Wilson's return to the Pacific Northwest. And then last week, they couldn't do much anything against the 49ers and lost 27-7 as their offense did not score any points. They are scoreless over the last six quarters, and this looks like a major opportunity for the Atlanta Falcons to possibly get their first win of the season. And just what Vegas has to say about this game, Seattle was predicted to, their over and under on the season was 5.5 games. And we know that the Falcons have the lowest over and under at 4.5 games, along with the Houston Texans, 4.5 wins for them. Also, the Vegas folks had Seattle open as a 2.5-point favorite, which is essentially a home underdog. You give the home team 3 points just for home field advantage. So actually, in Vegas parlance, the Falcons would be favored to win this game. So it's a interesting situation. You know, when the Falcons go out west, this is the third time it's happened where they request back-to-back games. They did it a few years back, went from Denver to Seattle, and then they also did another trip where they stayed out in Arizona for a back-to-back West Coast game. And so that's what's happening here. They'll be practicing tomorrow at the University of Washington. Today, there was a field trip over to the joint military base at this joint Lewis-McChord base right outside of Tacoma, and the Falcons will get back to work tomorrow. So let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks and their offense. Geno Smith, we all remember him. He was with the New York Jets. The old-timers remember that game in 2013 where he led him in the field goal position for a 30-28 win back at the Georgia Dome, the Georgia Dome days. But he's resurfaced in Seattle as they are trying to rebuild their situation over there. He's the replacement or bridge quarterback for Russell Wilson. So here's what Arthur Smith had to say about Geno Smith and the Seahawks offense.
Geno, you know, when I was in Tennessee, we went against him when he was with the Jets. We've got a couple games now to watch him, what he's doing in Seattle's offense and how they're handling their personnel. I think Shane Waldron's done a pretty good job. Their offensive coordinator, you know, they've got a lot of really good skill personnel. Tight end, they like to use all three of those tight ends. Dissly and Fan and Kurt Parkinson and then the receivers, Metcalf, and Lockett. They're good 1-2 punches, anybody in the league. They had a good one. And they got a lot of weapons. They got Penny back there, back, Kent Walker. So they got two young tackles. They're pretty good players.
All right. That was Coach Arthur Smith. Penny and Walker. That's Rashard Penny, Kenny Walker, the tailback from Michigan State. The two tackles are Abraham Lucas, third round pick from Washington State, and Charles Cross, the number 9th pick from Mississippi State. He was picked right after the Falcons picked Drake London. A lot of folks thought the Falcons might take him given their offensive line issues, but they went with the offensive weapon again. And we're going to title this episode. You know, we always midweek look ahead to the other team, but there's a big issue around the Falcons' 0-2 start. And it's why hasn't Kyle Pitts gotten the ball more? 2 catches for 19 yards. We wrote a story on AJC.com explaining that he's drawing heavy, heavy, heavy coverage, even on short crossing routes. You know, they had one guy underneath him and Jalen Ramsey on top of him in a lot of situations, definitely in the red zone. We saw where Jalen was allowed to roam and then end the game basically late. So we're going to title this episode here. I know we're into it a little bit. I should have read the title at the beginning, but we're going to go with it right here. Kyle Pitts on his selfless start. And so we want to hear from Kyle Pitts on, you know, how he's helping out, even if the ball doesn't find him.
I feel like it's been fine just going out there, just, you know, playing selfless ball and just opening up for somebody else. And, you know, if the ball doesn't find my way in one play, you know, I may find it the next series or the next quarter. So I'm not, you know, necessarily being very anal about that.
So he's not necessarily going to be too anal about that at this point, he says. So, you know, 2 catches for 19 yards in both games, had 7 targets last game. And in this game, you know, there were over 10 times when the ball was supposed to go his way. But, you know, one time, you know, Marcus bailed out, fell down, hit Parker Hesse. Hesse got some yards. It would have been a touchdown if Marcus Mariota didn't fall down. But, yeah, he's pulling 3 guys one direction, and they come back the other direction and finding wide open receivers. That's why his percentage, completion percentage rate is so high, because you don't want to force the ball into a guy that's being covered by 3 people. I mean, you definitely want to get Kyle engaged and so forth, but he's doing other things. One of the other things is that, you know, on the 39-yard pass to Cadarell Hodge, they had the max protect, or quasi-max protect, and I know what that is. And, you know, where you just leave everybody in the block while one guy go beats a guy and gets open, and that's what happened on that play for the 39-yard game. So, you know, you just block it up, hope your guy can win his 1 or 2 routes, and you don't send out everybody all the time. And on that play, Kyle was blocking. So, you know, and they're taking note of all those times that he does more than just catch the ball. So 2-19 in the first game, but 7 targets, 2 catches for 19 against the Rams. Only 3 targets on the books, but there was a 4th target where he drew the long pass interference call. So that's where we're at with Kyle Pitts. The fantasy people don't want to hear that. They want you to force feed him the ball. They're like, well, hey, well, Cooper Kupp's got 14 targets and this, that, and the other. He's running across zones. And, you know, so you just ask him, hey, well, what's going on? And, you know, Coach Arthur gave his analysis after game. So did Mariota. And we talked to Kyle about it yesterday. And he's not concerned if the ball isn't coming his way right now.
I mean, I'm not so worried about, like, myself solely. I mean, obviously, you know, we all want the ball as competitors. But, if you know, if it doesn't find our way, then it doesn't find our way. But just, you know, taking the game by game, man, it's a long season.
All right, it's a long season for Kyle Pitts and the Atlanta Falcons, and he knows that. It's going to be a, you know, folks are going to want to know when, you know, he can help them out there. So, and when, you know, he can get his stats. But right now he's fine and the other receivers are benefiting. The most obvious one that's benefiting is rookie Drake London, who's off to a great start. He was the top receiver taken in the draft, and he's been showing that so far. So let's look at some of Seattle's offensive stats, and then we'll hear from A.J. Terrell and go to the break. Here, they want to run the ball, but they haven't been able to get much running room up front. Rashad Penny has 18 carries for 75 yards. Walker's been slowed by Kenny Walker, the former Michigan State tailback, has been slowed by a hamstring, but he got some action last week. 4 carries for 10 yards. Now, their big playmakers are the wideouts, and they haven't been able to get them the ball down the field. Coach Pete is worried about the line. Tyler Lockett has 12 catches for 135. And DK Metcalf has 11 catches for 71 yards. So Geno Smith is loading up on his tight ends, Disley, Parkerson, and Noah Fant. And, you know, they got, you know, 4 or 5, 3 catches, a lot of dink and dunk stuff. But he is being efficient and completing 81% of his passes, but nothing that's doing any damage because, you know, you're not running the ball and you're throwing 3 and 4 yard routes. It's, you know, it's just a long day for you. But he's completed 47 of 58 passes for 392 yards. That's 81%. 2 touchdowns and 1 interception, has a passer rating of 99.1 yards. They haven't scored since the second quarter of the Denver game. So Pete Carroll, we're going to hear from him later. He kind of explains that, you know, with 2 rookie tackles, he wasn't going to call a lot of 5 and 7 step drops against the 49ers and the Bosa, you know, big Bosa out there. So Bosa still got to Geno Smith twice. So, but he thinks that their protection's fine and that they could kind of take the governor wheels off their rookie tackles and maybe start driving the ball down the field. And, you know, they know the Falcons were last in the league in sacks last year. So they're gonna take some shots on Sunday. And Pete's kind of telegraphing that, or at least he's making the Falcons think, or Dean Pease think that, oh, okay, they're going to try to throw it on us. So we're going to have to try to get after Geno Smith. But if they try to get after Geno Smith and leave Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf running down the field and they get the ball off, that could be trouble. So we wanted to talk to AJ Terrell about Seattle's wide receiver group.
You know, great core.
Got studying to do, but
yeah, good core, good quarterback, good receivers. Just got to watch film, get all the details down on them, but, you know, DK, good, great receiver. Lockett, been doing his thing too, but just look forward to Sunday.
Okay, one of the things that happened last week was the medical timeout. The Rams scored a touchdown, and the play was stopped as AJ came underneath a screen and took out the tight end and got a thought he got a concussion. They took him to the tent for the medical timeout. And it was noted, you know, that hadn't happened before. But he said, yeah, it did. It happened in Dallas last year where he went to the tent twice. He said this one was the one in Dallas was later than this one. It was like 2 plays after he had laid somebody out. And, you know, so, you know, that begs the question. You know, Dave Archer wanted to know, well, hey, do you have to change your style of play, man? You're getting after people. You're hitting folks. Basically, you need to make some business decisions on how you go in there hitting and so forth. You know, you go with your shoulder. How do you do it? And so, you know, we wanted to know from AJ, what are you going to do with this physical player? You got to tone it down a little bit, just get somebody to the ground. Or, you know, he probably wasn't taught that way, and it's going to be hard to change at this point. But we wanted to hear from him on his physical style of play.
When you play defense, you just flying around, reacting. Like, I'm not really thinking about, let me tackle this way or let me, you know, just going out there just playing. So,
but you do hopefully, know we're a different
I need to find a way to you know, just get the guy down.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing my body around.
We're different when you're not out there. You know?
But it worked.
Yep. Well, he said he's got to look at it. So we'll see. I mean, if he's on his rookie contract, and I'm sure he wants another one. So, you know, that's going to, you don't want to make no business decision to start matadoring people, but he wants people to know when they come in his territory, they got it. There's a price to pay. I understand that kind of philosophy on the football field. So right now, this is the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song, the celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Thanks for listening. The season's underway. The Falcons have played two thrilling games, even though they come up short in both of them. Big lead against the Saints, then blew it. Big deficit against the Rams, then came back against the world champs and, you know, scared them out of SoFi Stadium almost. And they got the ball back with 3:22 to go at the 37 and couldn't punch it in for the go-ahead score. But one of the big plays that ignited the comeback or made the comeback carry on was the block punt by Troy Anderson. Him and Lorenzo Carter were doing some tandem work in there, and Lorenzo ended up with the scoop and score, took it in for 26 yards for his first NFL touchdown. Let's hear from Lorenzo Carter.
Great effort from the guys. We knew what was going to happen. Everyone had to deal with me and Troy in the A-gap. So, I mean, we just rushed hard. Troy made the play. Troy did it. He did the hard work. He got through there and made the block. But once I got the ball, I was like, I got to get in. Don't fumble.
Don't fumble. The defensive guys, they're going to get it. Kobe Durant for the Rams, he's going to get it. He's going to get it in film. He probably got it already because he got caught by the quarterback. And Lorenzo knew that he couldn't get caught by the punter. That's what that was about. He's like, don't fumble, get to the end zone. And that's what he did. Let's hear from Troy, who actually blocked the punt. Troy Anderson, first-year rookie linebacker from Montana State.
I didn't really get blocked, so it was a don't miss a layup, I guess. But it was, definitely a fun play and get up and celebrate with Lorenzo in the end zone.
Yeah, and Troy also got some action at linebacker. His first action, he played only special teams in the opener. Got 11 snaps here. Talked to Mikael Walker. They got to school him on the X and O's. He did it on the Daryl Henderson 8-yard touchdown run. He goes inside and then leaves a lane, wide open lane outside for Henderson. I don't know what he saw to make him jump inside. But, there's some work there, and the Falcons are going to let these guys learn on the job. Spot playing the rookies seems to be how they're going to approach it here early in the season. Let's hear from Troy on getting more playing time.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been I just told Tori it's been a learning experience, but it's been a lot of fun, being out there with the guys and out there every day at practice trying to get better and do whatever they ask me.
All right, Troy Anderson, they like his athletic ability, and it's just going to get some, going to take some time with some repetitions. Him seeing things over and over and over and over again to where he, can be out there playing and not thinking. So Richie Grant has been one of the quiet stories here early in the season. He is taking over at the safety spot. They are interchangeable back there. He can do some free. He does some strong. And he led the team in tackles against the Saints. So we want to know Richie because he's back there kind of patrolling part free, part strong safety, kind of a quarterback back there on the defensive side of the ball. We want to know how is the defense coming together from his vantage point?
I mean, using the right word, we all coming together more and more each week. And then weeks like this, we out in Seattle together, all together in one hotel. It's just more time, more ways to bond as a team, get closer together. But coming along is the right words to use.
Well, all right. Let's see. Now here's the challenge. The defense is coming along. Can you put it together four quarters? Okay. You didn't play well against the Rams. You get put in a bad situation. They get up 21-3 right at the end of the half. Bobble ball, interception, they score. Okay, and they come out second half. You can't let them run the ball around the field and score on you. That's just what happened. They go up 28-3, and You're thinking, you know, we know 28-3, the game's not over, unfortunately, in Atlanta. But they did come back. But the defense, they got some stops. They got a block. They did football things. So the same good football things they did for three quarters against the Saints. Now you got to take those three quarters against the Saints, put them with that fourth quarter against the Rams, and now you got a game. Now you're beating people. Now you're playing football. And that's the challenge with a young football team. And that's where Coach Smith finds himself here in Seattle, trying to get ready for Pete Carroll and his crew. Before we hear from Coach Pete, we just want to Coach Pete talked to the media on Monday in Seattle, and we want to close with that. We'll go over defense, special teams issues. Then we got some kind of breaking news today. Some of the guys we've covered are on the Hall of Fame list. We want to make sure that y'all know about the Atlanta Falcons. Jordan Brooks and Cody Barton, both of the Seattle inside linebackers, led them with 11 tackles each. 49ers ran the ball 45 times for 189 yards on them last week. Guess what the Falcons are going to try to do? Probably run the ball. The kickoff returner, and on the special teams here, kicker is Jason Meyer. The punter is Michael Dixon. And the kick returner is DJ Dallas. And Crawford and Lockett handle the punt return duties for the Seattle Seahawks. So with that, let's hear from Coach Pete Carroll on Geno Smith.
You know, if there was any question of how long it would take him to get acclimated and all that, that's gone. He's clearly in command of it and poised, and we need to not hold back at all. And I kind of implied that, you know, we could have thrown the football more with the opportunities that we had, and with the trust that we have in him, we need to do that. And so you know, when it's given to us, we got to take advantage of it, and we don't have to hold back at all.
All right, that's what that hold back is, that, hey, maybe we, you know, no, they were holding back because they got the rookie tackles. They didn't want to get Geno killed. They wanted to make sure, and they don't know because they don't play an exhibition season. So the first couple games were experimental. Now they don't have to hold back. Expect for them to try to drive the ball down the field on the Falcons on Sunday. Here is Coach Pete on the protection issues.
That works hand in hand with the guys up front. You know, guys up front work to keep guys off the linebacker so that they can flow and make their plays. And so we need to work together better. We had some fantastic plays in this game where we really dominated line of scrimmage. And then we had other plays when it looked like we were, you know, out of whack. And it's unusual for us to lack that consistency. I do think that it's gonna take us a little more time than we want to get really connected really tightly against the really good offenses that are dedicated to run the football like the Niners. We learned a lot in that game. We had enough chances and so we'll grow, but there was just some slight fits that weren't as good, and it really is the connection of the guys playing up front and the backers flowing properly.
Well, all right, that's Coach Pete Carroll and some of their issues. They are, I want to see the Charles Cross kid here. He is, you know, Charles Cross is handling his situation and everything. He was one of the top linemen coming out. So it'll be interesting to see how the Falcons go after Charles Cross. Now, before we get out of here on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, we want to bring to your attention some of the Falcons who are on the list for the that are nominees of the 129 players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are 67 offensive players, 50 defensive players, and 12 specialists. And the Atlanta Falcons on the list include Warrick Dunn, Steven Jackson, running back kickoff returner Eric Metcalf, Devin Hester, Joe Horn, Andre Risen, and Roddy White. Yes, Roddy White is on the list for the first time. Defensively, John Abraham, Dwight Freeney, Alan Rossum, Ashante Samuel, and Jason Elam as kickers. Now, we'll monitor those as we move forward. I think Abraham got the furthest of the group last year. You know, he's got to be under greater consideration. His numbers match up well with the three pass rushers. DeMarcus Ware is the one that people think should be in. Jared Allen is one. And then Robert Mathis from Atlanta. And I went and did the research for Abraham. I was like, hey, y'all got to put Abraham in the group with these three because they all match up. And, you know, one thing that was brought to my attention was like, hey, these guys had big wins. You know, the Falcons, that team that was the 2012 team, they clinched early. Abraham got hurt. Then they get to the championship game and they don't have a pass rush. I think Coach Smith probably regrets playing them in that meaningless game. But, you know, that was his chance to maybe get on the grand stage and win over some of these folks. Work done, you know, pound for pound, probably the toughest back ever. Steven Jackson's got a bunch of yards, but didn't win much. Metcalf was a dazzling returner. So was Devin Hester. Joe Horn, lots of production. Andre Rison sat with him at Leroy Butler's ceremony. And, you know, he's one of the highest average per catch guys in the league. I knew him from my Green Bay days. He was represented by Dr. Charles Tucker, who also represented Glenn Big Dog Robinson. And her Dr. Tucker still doing his thing out there. Of course, Roddy White, we all know about his situation. And then Abraham Freeney, mostly Colts, and then kind of was a pass rusher for hire there at the end. So on the Falcons Super Bowl team, Rossum was one of the best returners in the game. He should be with the special teams group. And Shante, he was like, hey, I'm better than Champ Bailey. So he had the numbers, had a lot of picks, but had the big blunder in the Super Bowl, the Eli Manning helmet Super Bowl that they were able to pull out and beat the Patriots, kind of messed up the perfect season. And then Jason Elam, Brookwood kicker, longtime Denver kicker in the, you know, in the high altitude and so forth. Certainly all these guys need to get their due consideration. And some of them need to be heard in the Hall of Fame room. So with that, we're going to get out of here. It's a big week, big chance for the Falcons to get a W against the Seattle Seahawks, who are also rebuilding under Coach Pete Carroll. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.